And good morning. It is just now about 10 minutes past 9 o'clock. I'm Beth Pike, and welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We are on today's edition of Jaws of Justice Radio going to be talking with Beverly Livingston and Indigo to preview the annual Women of Courage celebration, which is hosted by mothers of incarcerated sons and daughters, and that's coming up next weekend. We're also going to be joined by Bob Ronan of Missourians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty, and they'll be talking about the special guest presentation that they're going to be having at their meeting tomorrow night. And now it is Jeff and his guests.
Welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio. This is Jeff Umfeld, and I have two guests here in the first part of the show. Beverly Livingston, as we announced, is the founder and director, I guess you would call it, of Mothers of Incarcerated Sons and Daughters, and Indico, who is a spoken word artist who will perform at the Women of Courage event coming up this weekend. Beverly, I want to start with you a little bit. Explain what MIST is and, just what you're trying to do, and also a little bit about the Women of Courage and that this is a fundraiser coming up.
All right. Good morning. MIST began in 2009 as an advocacy support group in Kansas City, serving also St. Louis and surrounding areas, families with loved ones in state and federal institutions seeking solace and justice benefit from what we offer. MIST remains dedicated to addressing the plight facing families affected by incarceration. So about 4 years ago, we started recognizing trailblazing women who weren't really household names or recognized for their services and contributions in making our world a better place. And we decided to recognize these women. So we started out with women from St. Louis as well as Kansas City. And for each year that we have done this, we have been amazed at the work and the services and the stewardship that people are putting into trying to make our world a better place, dealing with the injustice, wrongful convictions, excessive sentences, and the list goes on and on. And this year, we're going to honor six women in Kansas City.
Are you at liberty to announce who those women are?
Well, we won't have your listeners wait until Saturday and force them to come. Our honorees are Sisters Berta and Carita, who are founders of Operation Breakthrough, an early learning center for children of poverty families and otherwise. They serve more than 400 children and their families, and for 45 years these nuns provided three generations of children who are often born into poverty the chance for a brighter future. So we've got some adults walking around out there very successful and those who are just doing what they have to do to survive, or products of the Operation Breakthrough Early Learning Center services. We also have Angela Curry. She's co-founder of Awesome Ambitions KC, and that's a mentoring young women's program that offers them a chance to define, achieve, and to believe they are capable of accomplishing success. Luann Yeager serves on the Kairos Outside Prison Ministry teams, and she's a leader of Kairos Outside Western Missouri Weekend number 10, which is coming up in a couple of weeks, and she also serves on the Advisory Council. Rosalind Temple is founder of KC Mothers in Charge, whose mission is to reduce crime through violence prevention, education, and intervention, as well as guide and support the families of victims. Their vision is to be the leader in empowering families to make Kansas City communities a safer place. And finally, we have Linda Taylor. Linda Taylor is a member of Missourians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty. Since 1991, while meeting the advocacy needs of support group members and families facing execution of loved ones, Linda's son, Michael Taylor, was executed last year. So she has firsthand knowledge and experience of what that journey is like. And you'll hear more about the alternatives to the death penalty from your guests this this morning. So that tells you who our honorees are, and we're just very excited.
All right, this you know, you all have been lobbying the state for a long time. You also have, this is your yearly fund drive or fundraiser for your organization, for this organization. An organization which I have to admit I am a member of, so I've been involved with. What other things are you going to be doing at this conference, and hopefully we'll use that to get us to our other guest here.
All right. Well, this particular event presents the Women of Courage Awards, and we're recognizing women who have demonstrated exceptional courage and leadership in advocating for peace, justice, human rights, equality, and empowerment. So Saturday afternoon, October 8th, from 3 to 5 at St. Monica Catholic Church Fellowship Hall, we will have food, we will have a wonderful time to celebrate the honorees as well as each other. In the room will be an array of people, some former women of courage. We'll have leaders from around our community. We have some people from St. Louis coming in, and it's just going to be a great time of our coming together to just honor, appreciate, and recognize those who have made a difference in our work.
All right, Indigo, you will be performing.
Yes.
A couple pieces or so at the event. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe give us one of your pieces that you're going to do.
Great, great, great. I started at the age of 7 writing poems and selling them for a quarter on Valentine's Day at school. It was then that I learned that I loved words. I had the opportunity to open up for Emmanuel Cleaver to lead the march 2011 Workers for Justice against some of the unlawful things that take place in the workforce. Right now, I'm just so excited for this opportunity to be with the women that are being encouraged and honored. My name is Indigo to Kansas City, and I'm always laughing when I should be crying. All gas, no brakes, unless I'm breaking down a little wordplay. So the piece that I'm going to do for you guys today is called Street Rallies. I stand here, uneasy, unable to consume what remains from the lack of love. Mama works 12-hour shifts and she don't teach. Granny raised her kids, her grandkids, great-grandkids, great-grandkids too. Tired to reach these ghetto sanctuaries, leave children powerless in these streets, so they turn to Harry Potter's Sorcerer's Stone. They turn to smell what the rock is cooking. Turn to Lil Wayne's MTV Hour, but very rarely turn to see their fathers. 70% of them drop out of school, so entertainment becomes their teachers, rappers, their preachers. Pop culture gives them mouths full of ebonics, talented lyricists, wizards of words that are selling their souls for triple digits. They become moral midgets. Mama, moving on up to the east side, cause they finally got a piece of the pie, full of lies in these gangster rhymes that don't equate the times or apprehend the minds, but make videos of players beefing in their rhymes, pushing young girls' self-esteem so far down the lines as they present unrealistic omega-3 deficient females as fine. They place truth and love behind chambers. It angers mama but excites the child, builds a bridge
between two age groups 1 mile long, 10 feet deep. Where is the language of love that we once speak? Where will we be now that our rallies, they take place in alleys, and our dreamers have become schemers, and our pockets, they can't hold freedom? We sway from the ways of the ones who knew best. Where will we be now that we enslave our own children for sexual pleasure? To our perversion and greed, there is no measure. We become a people out for profit. Stop it. Where will we be now that our stripes and our stars hold no meaning? Caught up in get quick rich scheming, and the language of love is just left.
Wow.
Big wow.
That is dynamite. You've been performing for a long time now. You are a young woman, but you still, if you started as young as you say you did, you've been at it for a while, and you've honed it very well, I will say.
Right.
What other kind of venues do you perform at? I mean, or do you get involved in some of the slams and some of the other things that are around, or?
You know, I really love that. At the age of 14, I went through a situation where I was taken and held captive for almost 2 weeks. And I remember when I was allowed to let go, when I was allowed to leave, I remember that I had to do. I knew then that I had to do something, that I had to stand against some of the different things that were taking place in the community. So I'm often speaking at homegoing services, funerals. I just recently spoke at the two little boys' funeral, Montel and Jaden, who were both shot and killed, and I spoke about their bravery. So often I'm doing genealogies, coming in to honor those who deserve it.
Wow, that is really a great service. I expect that in a few years you will be one of the women of courage that will be on the list to be honored, and should be. And we are planning a show coming up where we talk with some of the, Rosalind Temple will be one of them, with some of the groups that help the families of those whose loved ones have been murdered. There's a lot those families need. And need to understand and need to know. And so we're planning on a call-in show to bring those people on and let people know where they can find what they need in their time of crisis. So I really applaud you for what you're doing and appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Beverly, I want to come back to you just a little bit. I've been to two or three of the Women of Courage events. One of the things that I find very inspiring is that the women that you honor are normally names that you won't hear in the news or someplace else. They are the smaller groups, the grassroots people that are working right down on the ground, so to say, of what's happening. Is that something that's on purpose, or is it just because that's where your group comes from?
Well, that's our intent, to recognize those women who aren't so well known for their services and their works. And there are a lot of them out there. I often say, strong is the woman who stands behind you in your darkest hour. While on trailblazing missions, these women nurture the will within us. And they are regarded and respected by peers in our community, and their work is inspiration for change. So if you want to see some people who are really on the front line and doing things, are women of courage or from that group. We try to find those women who are just kind of not seen, but maybe heard. And there was a quote that I saw at the African American Museum that said something about well-behaved women are never noticed, or something like that.
That's
so
right.
Well-behaved women rarely make history.
Thank you. That is exactly what it said. And I had to have that, and I'm often reminded of that. So those are the kind of women that we nominate and look for.
Tell us a little bit more about the organization. You have meetings once a month, second Saturday. That's why I miss it too often. Because I can never
it's okay,
get the
Jeff.
Right Saturday.
We just love it when you do make it. Yes, we do. Second Saturdays of each month at Waldo Library. It starts at noon until about 1:30. And during those meetings, we have both therapeutic time. There may be some tears. There's celebrations for homecomings, maybe legislation that we had a voice in. All kinds of things are discussed at that table because the people in that room are all sharing either having dealt with incarceration of a loved one or sometimes themselves, dealing with it presently, or know someone who's dealing with it. So besides being therapeutic, we have a sisterhood and a brotherhood because we have some men who participate and join us. We work with reentry concerns. When someone comes home, we want to know what resources are there for them and be able to send people in the right direction. So we're pretty comprehensive as it relates to the services, the support, the information and awareness. And we try to make sure that everybody at our table becomes their own best advocate. There's something about advocacy that you don't need someone else to speak for you because that passion that you have, if you learn how to channel that energy into being able to state your concern, talk to the right people, and know how to bring the right attitude, change will come. And I am just so happy when I see mothers and grandmothers and other people that have been a part of our missed family have their shoulders back and are now able to express themselves and get results. And we hear those stories and testimonies. So we've been around since 2009, and I must say God isn't done with us yet because every time I think maybe we're not needed anymore and try to let the group just kind of fizzle out or whatever, more people come. So we are needed, and I'm glad to feel like we're meeting a need, a great need.
You know, one of the things I think a lot of people don't understand is that no one goes to prison alone, or very few people do. There may be one or two out there that have no family or no one else in their life, and that may very well be why they got into the trouble they did. But families are put upon to pay in a lot of ways, not just emotionally, but also out of their wallet. And those are some of the issues that you address. Why don't you, tell people a couple of the things that maybe in the last few meetings you have come up, that hardships that families have to go through to stay in touch with their loved ones.
Absolutely. Visitation is a challenge, especially if a loved one is serving federal time. You may be sent far away from your family, and so you've got travel expenses and extended stay expenses. I mean, if you go that far, you want to see your loved one maybe a couple of days. So if it's a Friday, Saturday, you're going to have to pay to stay, food and other kinds of things. But one of the expenses that I would like to mention, and this has kind of been way back when we first started, was the excessive cost for telephone calls. And we spoke out against how that system worked. And now I'm finding that the calls are much more affordable. I don't think Jackson County Jail has gotten it yet. I think they're still pretty excessive when loved ones call and if they can call collect. But collect calls were just overwhelming families. I mean, I know people that lost their phone services because of the phone calls. Interstate calls were outrageous, and now it's just more affordable, and they have email, and, they're trying to make it a little more affordable. But I have noticed the DOCs and the BOPs are not our friends, and they're not trying to make it convenient for us to visit family and to be able to afford the stays that our loved ones have there. And for that, we just try to address things as needed. The commissary list have items on there that you can go to Walmart and maybe pay $4 for a large storage bin, but our guys have to pay $8, $10. It's really unfair. It's really gouging. It's really excessive. So those are some of the things that we speak up and speak out about and try to just help make it better.
Well, I want to thank you, and I'm going to ask you to stick around. We are going to be talking to Bob Ronan from the Missourians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty here in just a few moments, but we are going to take a break. I want to let everybody know that we will have no calendar of events on our broadcast today, but you can find this week's events on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page and on our page on the KKFI website. I definitely want to say thank you very much to Indigo for her performance today. That's going to stick with me for a while. With me yet in the second half is Beverly Livingston from Mothers of Incarcerated Sons and Daughters. She's sticking around with us for a few minutes. And we also are introducing now Bob Ronan from Missourians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty. And welcome, Bob.
Well, thank you, Jeff. And it's too bad we're on radio. We have these two lovely ladies here and nobody can see them.
I can see them.
That's true.
Thank you.
Well, I'm a member of MADP, the Missourians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty. And I've been active for 10 years or so. My friend Jeff Umfeld is too. I got involved because I believe the death penalty is wrong in several important ways. It is wrong, and there's no chance of fixing it. We've tried. The death penalty is unfair in the way it's administered. It is many times more likely to be applied if the victim is white. It is many times more likely to be applied in a few counties in our state. And that's a pattern that occurs all around the country. The death penalty at its heart, it's immoral and humane. To take a life in response to killing means a double wrong has been committed. It doesn't solve anything. The death penalty doesn't prevent murder, and it doesn't bring closure to the families of the victim. And it's a big, wasteful government program, one that costs twice as much or more than life in prison. Missouri is one of a dwindling minority of states that actively kills its citizens. We are determined to change that. MADP is composed of hundreds of people from all over the state who are opposed to the death penalty. We're organized into four chapters, one here, one in Springfield, one in Columbia, and one in St. Louis. Our website is www.madpmo.org. And it's a good resource for someone interested in our work. The Kansas City chapter has sponsored occasional programs. In addition to our regular monthly meetings, we meet on the first Tuesday of each month at All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church on Walnut Street near the plaza. This Tuesday, we have a program about death penalty juries and what a citizen should know about serving on such a jury. We have Kate Siska, a mitigation specialist and consultant to MADP, to present the program. We'll make it available across the state through our Speakers Bureau. If you want to know more about this or get a trained MADP speaker for your next meeting, check out our website again, www.madpmo.org. Let's talk a little bit about Kate when we get a minute.
Yeah, that's really what my next question was what she is going to present. It, you know, we've had the folks from the Fully Informed Jury Association on a couple times. They're out of Montana, of all places. And, you know, one of the things that they have on their website is that we oftentimes think that our job as a juror is to find somebody guilty or innocent. But really what our job is, and I think it applies more to death penalty than perhaps any others, is to keep an overreaching government from stepping on our rights. And, you know, it's quite obvious that, you know, the death penalty has not been has not worked right. It's already been struck down by the Supreme Court once, and they found ways around that and said, okay, yeah, we'll let it go. But I think there aren't too many on the Supreme Court now that even that would say that it's being applied fairly. So what happens in the jury room and what happens in court is very, very important. And mitigation is a matter of those issues that may have been a factor in a person committing a crime that doesn't excuse them from the crime, but it does call for mercy on the part of juries and judges and the like. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what Kate does?
Well, let's talk a little bit about Kate. She grew up in the Chicago area and earned a bachelor's and master's degree at Northern Illinois University. A pharmaceutical sales career brought her to Kansas City. While working here, Kate became a CASA volunteer. Those are court-appointed special advocates, helping the court determine the true best interest of children involved in the criminal justice system. Later on, she identified mitigation work as a great fit with her aptitudes and interests and found our friend Cindy Short, one of the nation's leading death penalty trial attorneys and a mitigation specialist. As one result of their work together and their connection with MADP, Cindy and Kate developed the material for this presentation that we'll have tomorrow night. Kate went through 9 different mitigation-related training courses throughout the country since she's joined up with Cindy. She also works on special projects at MADP, including as a victim outreach specialist, learning and retelling the stories of victims' families who have suffered twice, once as a result of the crime itself, and afterward experiencing the grinding of the wheels of justice necessitated by the death penalty process. She's been a big brother's, big sister's volunteer and has been a big to Natalie, now age 16, since 2008. So we're kind of excited to have Kate do the first presentation of what we expect will be many around the state of Missouri.
Well, all right, let folks know when this meeting is. It is tomorrow night. But
it's tomorrow night at 6:30, and it's at All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church, which is on Walnut Street, 4601, I believe, Walnut, yeah. Right across from the Kemper Museum of Contemporary Art.
Yes, it's a block east of Main.
Yeah.
Right there. And, it does sound like it's going to be a very interesting, presentation. And it's one of those things that we really need to as citizens, have more information about how to be on a jury and why we should take jury duty a lot more seriously than we do. It's not like taxes, which everybody wants to get out of. It really shouldn't be that way.
Well, Jeff, I had some misconceptions myself, and when I read over her draft presentation, I realized I was kind of wrong. The only question they can really ask a potential juror about the death penalty is there a circumstance where you could vote for the death penalty? And most of us who are advocates to remove the death penalty would say, no, there's no circumstance. But I might think of Hitler or Stalin and say, well, I might be able to hold my hand up on that one. So I think we good-hearted Americans should welcome the chance to serve on a jury if we're asked, because our vote may be the one that matters in the jury, or if nothing else, the prosecution uses up their designated strikes on us and doesn't have to strike someone else who might have equal minds. The other thing is on mitigation. I did not realize how powerful mitigation is. And you talked about it just briefly earlier. The prosecution will generally try to convince the jury that it's a scale and you need to weigh all of the aggravating factors, whatever bad things were done, against whatever mitigating factors there are in the person's life. And that's not really true. The scale is very strongly tipped towards mitigation. If there's some reason for mercy for this individual, it can outweigh lots of factors in terms of aggravation.
All right, I want to give you and Beverly both the opportunity to tell people once again when and where your events are. Beverly, I'll start with you.
All right. Next Saturday, October 8th, 3 to 5 p.m. at the St. Monica Catholic Church Fellowship Hall, 1616 Paseo. Please join us. It's great food, fun, and celebration of some very special people.
All right, and this is a fundraiser, so there is a cost to it. You can pay at the door, I do believe. I've done that myself. And I don't know whether it's worth going online right at this point or not. It's a little bit hard. It's a very long URL to try and get you to that. But you can go to Mothers of Incarcerated Sons, Sons and Daughters Facebook page and find a link there. Also, you can find a link on our Jaws of Justice radio page on KKFI. Bob?
Well, Jeff, the meeting that we are having tomorrow night is going to mostly be a presentation by Kate Siska. It'll be at the All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church, 4601 Walnut Street near the plaza, and it's at 6:30 in the evening. Okay. And we're not going to have a fundraiser at this one. Matter of fact, we're going to give out some goodies.
Hey, there you go. Something good to eat, I hope.
Oh, yeah. Jeff will come.
I expect to be there, yes. This is Jaws of Justice Radio. And I'm going to have Beverly wants to give her phone number in case somebody wants to find out more or needs to, make arrangements to pay ahead of time.
Thanks, Jeff. 816-337-5876.
Repeat that again, but a little bit slower.
816-337-5876.
Okay, and I'm going to give a phone number of my own here, which is 888-931-0901. And that is the number you call to donate to KKFI to keep us on the air, keep us doing this the very type of shows that we did today, getting the information out to you that you want and you need of what's happening in your community. That's 888-931-0901. I want to thank all of our guests today, Beverly Livingston, Indigo especially. That was very beautiful. We really appreciate what you had, your poem today, and Bob Ronan from Missourians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty. We want to thank you all very much for being here.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Did you know that you might be able to double, maybe even triple your gift with your company's matching gift program? Many companies participate in a program that matches their employees' gifts to nonprofit organizations, such as KKFI. Contact your human resources office and ask if your employer provides matching gifts for your gift.
It's the 420 Drug War News. You know, I always thought the Houston were the worst, but here we get the following from Boston.
Admitting to cooking the books, the woman at the center of the state drugs lab scandal changes her plea and tells the court that she is guilty as charged. Annie Ducon admitted that she tampered with evidence, putting more than 1,000 drug cases in jeopardy. And as Christina Hager shows us, she will now spend the next several years behind bars.
Annie Ducard walked into court with her parents and attorney, a free woman, then faced the judge.
Are you offering to plead guilty freely, willingly, and voluntarily?
Yes, sir.
Again and again, the 35-year-old former state crime chemist answered questions in an increasingly weak and frail voice. 3 to 5 years in prison, 2 years probation for tampering with drug evidence to make samples positive, testifying in drug trials that the tests were accurate, and that she was more educated and qualified than the reality. 27 counts in all. In the year and 2 months since her arrest, inmates have been freed. A governor-appointed lawyer found her actions may have tainted more than 40,000 cases.
This is just the end of one particular chapter in what has been going on, and the story goes on for the thousands of individuals who still have yet to have their day in court.
After the plea, Ducon walked across the room to the defendant's area where guards later handcuffed her, sending her off to her new home.
Justice Carol Ball looked straight at Ducon and told her her behavior caused innocent people to be locked up, guilty people to be set free, and cost the public millions and millions of dollars. In her words, shaking the justice system to the core. In Boston, Christina Hager, WBC News.
Now, the governor's office has estimated that the fallout from Ducon's actions cost the state $8.5 million just this year.
The following segment features California's Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom.
The harms of the drug war are more pronounced than the drug itself.
The DEA said that they're going to keep marijuana a Schedule I drug, which means it has no medical use. Why are they doing that?
Because they lack courage, conviction. Because they're consumed by ideology. I don't want to just wait for certain elected officials to feel that it's safe now. Tell it to folks that are sick and tired of wasting money on police overtime and incarceration. Tell it to the thousands of people every year that are being arrested for felonies. Tell it to the African American community and the Latino community that's disproportionately being targeted. They can't hug their kids. They can't see their kids. Once they're eventually released, they can't get a job. It's unconscionable. How dare you sit by passively when lives are being destroyed by this war on drugs.
Just how much scandal is too much? Dean Becker, DrugTruth.
Ready? 1, 2, 3. What am I gonna do now? Am I gonna make it? Some way, somehow. Well, maybe I'm not.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show and that we leave you with something to think about, something to talk to your neighbors about, and a reason to get involved. As always, the opinions expressed are those of the host and the guest of Jaws of Justice Radio, not KKFI, the Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated, or its staff and volunteers. You can find our calendar of events and a link to our show episodes and podcasts on the Jaws of Justice Radio page on Facebook. If you have a show idea or you want to help produce the show, email us at jawsofjusticeradio@yahoo.com. And you can always listen to us live on the KKFI website at kkfi.org. This is your engineer for Jaws of Justice Radio, Beth Pike. And be sure to tune in Thursday mornings at 6 a.m. when I host the Thirsty Thursday edition of your Morning Buzz. Our outro music is Better Man, and that's from the Playing for Change CD. Please tune in for the rest of our 9 a.m. weekday lineup with Law and Disorder on Tuesday, Alternative Radio on Wednesday, Khadija and the White Guy at 9 a.m. on Thursdays, and then Between the Lines at 9 a.m., followed by Bioneers at 9:30 on Fridays. Up next is Beautician's Blues. That's with Luscious Lynn. And then at noon, it's Arts Magazine with Michael Hoag. You'll want to stick around for Jazz and Blues in the afternoon, and then Eco Radio KC at 6 p.m. Round out your day south of the border with Fiesta Musical, Compartiendo en Familia, and Compartiendo en Noche.